Hello, and thank you for joining us for today's webinar. I'm Nancy Stone with RealCom, and we're pleased to be presenting part two of the new hybrid workplace series, which will focus on the employee experience. We have a great panel today who'll be discussing innovative solutions for creating a flexible, blended workplace model designed to support a distributed workforce of both in-office and remote workers. Before we get started, let's review a few housekeeping items. First, to submit questions, please use the Q&A box located on the control panel somewhere on your screen. If the panel isn't visible, look for a red arrow that opens and closes it. We'll try to answer your questions during the session or follow up with you after if we run short of time. For the best webinar experience, we suggest you close any other internet applications you have running. If you have technical issues during the session, please contact me at nstone@realcom.com. And lastly, this webinar is being recorded and a link to the recording will be sent to all registrants. We'd like to thank today's gold sponsors, AppSpace, iOffice, MicroShare, and Spacewell. You'll be hearing from each of these companies during the session. Today's webinar will be moderated by Neil LeSure. Neil is an EVP of Real Estate Management Services and a principal at Avison Young, responsible for leading the Canadian practice. He has a wide array of leadership experience in both entrepreneurial and corporate environments and a passion for building talented teams to deliver exceptional performance for clients and customers. Neil, thank you for moderating today's session.
Thanks, Nancy. It's my pleasure to be moderating the segment of the ongoing RealCom series about the hybrid workplace. We have a very talented and engaging panel representing the landlord perspective as well as industry partners that are so critical to supporting this evolution in the workplace. Before I get started with the panel, I'd like to just to set the stage a little. Avison Young, for those of you who are not familiar with it, is a global real estate services organization with over 5,000 employees operating primarily in the United Kingdom, the United States, and Canada. We've just released a white paper titled The Multiverse of Work, which is very applicable to today's topic. Over the past decade, users of commercial space have increasingly viewed their locations and spaces through the lens of talent, attracting it, retaining it, and getting the most out of it while at work. The multiverse is all part of the next evolution in optimizing workplaces for human performance. If there's one clear message from the knowledge workers about the future of their work, it's that they want the best of both worlds, the flexibility to work from anywhere and a place to gather with their colleagues. While such sentiment has captured media attention, remote work is only a piece of what knowledge workers want. A survey of over 3,000 global employees conducted by Global Workforce Analytics in the spring of 2020 reported that 16% of workers want to work remotely all the time. In fact, the data from this and other surveys suggest that on average, knowledge workers prefer to split time roughly evenly between remote on-site work, spending the equivalent of 2 to 3 days at each during a normal week. It is possible that current demands for the right to work flexibly will moderate as the pandemic recedes, but it seems likely that keeping talent happy in the 2020s will require supporting work in a wider variety of locations than in the past. What Avison Young is calling the multiverse of work. Now, more than ever, employees hold the balance of power in what the future workplace is going to look like. Salesforce President and Chief People Officer Brent Hyder cited employee feedback in an article on the company's website. Employee feedback has guided our reopening strategy, with 80% of employees wanting to maintain a connection to a physical space. They are, he says, hungry for the connection, camaraderie, and innovation that comes from gathering in person. Microsoft is yet another firm building its workplace around the desire of its employees. In March of 2021, the company released its own perspective on the hybrid workplace, calling it the next great disruption. One conclusion was, flexible work is here to stay, and the talent landscape has fundamentally shifted. In other words, talent demands a multiverse of work, and that is what employers will provide. It is one thing if talented knowledge workers want to spend a significant amount of time working remotely while also needing access to a corporate office. It's something completely different if this arrangement actually makes them better at what they do. It turns out this is indeed the case. Working in a multiverse actually increases organizational performance. The CEO of Standard Chartered, a UK-based global financial services firm, has likened its power to the impact of disruptive technology. In 2 or 3 years' time, not adopting hybrid working will be like not adopting email 20 years ago. If you understand and manage the technology well, it can be a huge boost to people's productivity. If both employee preferences and business outcomes are best supported by working in a multiverse of locations, then it's clear that the existence of a variety of workplaces matters. But what about the quality of those spaces? According to research, quality matters a great deal, both at home and in the office. Leisman Research has discovered that the remote experience is far superior for employees who have a space in their homes dedicated to working than it is for those that do not. Factors such as natural light, air quality, noise level, and ergonomic comfort matter, just like they do in the office. But what about corporate offices? Is one office really different from another? To demonstrate just how important workplaces quality can be, consider an example from Leisman of contrasting attitudes about remote work and on-site work within a single large organization's employees. Their analysis considered several different office locations using the Leisman Index, a composite measure of workplace experience built from over 80 different metrics. One location had an LMI of 79, which Leisman considers outstanding, whilst another had a suboptimal LMI of 55. Clearly, some offices are better than others. Crucially, the results revealed a striking difference between the two sites when it comes to employee attitudes to remote working. At the outstanding workplace, over 90% of employees expressed the desire to work remotely only one day per week. By contrast, at the suboptimal location, 72% of workers wanted to be remote at least 3 days per week. The implication is that the quality of the workplace itself is a crucial factor in how employees would like to be there, how often employees would like to be there. Stated another way, a high-quality workplace actually attracts attendance. So, two takeaways before we get rolling. One, offices will remain and get better. Because offices are uniquely good at supporting certain workers' needs, they will continue to function as a vital component of workplace strategy. But while very few companies will eliminate offices entirely, neither will they be the same as they once were. Some pandemic-driven features, such as touchless fixtures, improved air filtration, and ventilation, will persist long after COVID fears subside. A renewed focus on physical wellness as a basic need will make offices in the multiverse healthier, more productive working environments. And just as employees will have flexibility about when they come into the office, they will also have more choices about where and how they work once they arrive. And though collaboration will be a primary driver of a desire to commute to the office, the space itself will include plenty of comfortable, distraction-minimizing options for the inevitable, individualized, focused work that always must occur. And two, companies will invest even more in the workplace. Much has been made of the notion that with fewer employees coming to the office on any given day, companies will sharply reduce their real estate footprints, saving millions in the process. Yet we believe that in the multiverse, successful companies will invest more in the workplace. Many will adjust the size and distribution of their portfolios to some degree, or make greater use of flex options, both of which are already happening pre-COVID. But drastic cuts will be difficult to manage without creating limitations on how many employees are allowed on site at one time. To realize the advantages of less space, companies will spend on space management software to facilitate reservations, as well as technology to measure usage. Even the most aggressive remote first organizations will eventually spend money on travel and lodging when bringing in far-flung employees for regular visits or for occasional work gatherings. Factoring in costs related to supporting workers while at home or other offsite locations, it seems more likely the workplace-related costs will shift or even increase rather than shrink. Yet this investment will yield a return, As we have seen, working in the multiverse leads to happier, more productive employees who do better work because they are more engaged with their organizations. With more workplace options, companies will have more dimensions to employ in attracting the talented people they need to compete. It's a concept many of them are already embracing. As employers, we have an opportunity to create an even better workplace, says Brett Hyder of Salesforce. One that allows us to be more connected to each other, find more balance between work and home, and advance equality, ultimately leading to increased innovation and better business outcomes. The future world of knowledge work will be far more expansive than most people imagined just a few years ago. It will align not only with worker preference but for flexibility, but also with better results through optimal human performance. The solutions will be complex, but for companies that execute well, very worthwhile. So having said all this, our first guest is perfectly suited to address how owners and managers are evolving their assets in order to better accommodate the shifting nature of work. It's my pleasure to introduce Mitzi McNair from Carr Properties. Mitzi is the Senior Vice President of Brand and Hospitality and is a veteran in the luxury hospitality space. Currently, Mitzi is responsible for driving the transformation of the workplace experience defined by luxury hospitality, service, amenities, and design. She also oversees all of the marketing and branding efforts for the company. Go ahead, Mitzi.
Hi, Neil. Thank you so much. And just thanks for having me. It's a real honor to be here on behalf of Carr Properties. For those of you that might not be familiar with Carr, we are an owner operator of commercial office space in the Washington, D.C. area, and also Boston, and most recently just purchased a building in Austin, Texas, so starting to expand there. So, you know, Carr Properties has been on a mission to really reinvent the workspace even prior to the pandemic. Our goal is really to infuse a level of hospitality into all of our workspaces and environments and experience. You know, I think it's even more important now, you know, now that the pandemic has happened, to bring that to life. And we're really focused on it, which is one of the reasons, as Neil said, that I was brought on, is because of, you know, this background in hospitality. You know, Carr believes that workplaces are really for living and not just making a living. You know, we feel like there's a shared belief in the companies that are attracted to our locations, ones that really believe in strong cultures, ones that, you know, really want to honor balance, create connections, foster collaboration, and really inspire creativity so that our customers can really thrive and be well. And we've really, you know, just started to think about how work and life has really blurred so much even more since the pandemic. And so now when we think about what is that environment we want to create, we really want to create a place that does feel more like home and does have a lot of those comforts. So whether it be, you know, something like just, you know, having different variety of spaces to work in, whether that could be an activated lobby or, you know, a quiet space that's more for focus, or, you know, a rooftop if you want to be outside, or a terrace or a courtyard, or even in the beautiful penthouse, which I'm in here today at the Wilson in downtown Bethesda. Those are really the goals, and really attract people to want to come back to work. So for example, we have a newly delivered property in Union Market called Signal House. It is an amazing, very, very unique building. Its penthouse and rooftop has a capacity of almost 300 people with just incredible views of the city. It has an inside-outside bar, you know, a chef's kitchen. It has a podcast room, a karaoke room, a live DJ booth. You know, those are really amenities that, you know, we are trying to bring, and, you know, very similar to something that we're doing in Boston, which is One Congress, which has a completely dedicated amenity floor. But I think even most important is that we want our customers to really feel like we care about them and know that we care about them, even as much as their companies do. We want them to have that feeling that when they walk through our doors, you know, they can really exhale, their shoulders can drop, and they can really feel like they're going to be taken care of. Because those are the environments that we feel are most important. So we're really doing this through three different ways. We call it the car experience. Neil mentioned some of this, but really some of it's through product and design. So things like the activated lobbies, activated rooftops, a lot of different places for, you know, co-working or even flexible terms. So we like to call it the layering of the cake, where there's even opportunities within our amenity called Wave Office, which allows for flexible lease terms. So for a company that is just really getting to a level where they want to have their own, you know, name on the building in their own location, and they're kind of tired of co-working maybe, or just need to get into a different space that has a more flexible office. It's really amazing because they get all the great amenities that are within our building, but then with the flexibility of the shorter lease term, easy payments. So that is something that we're continuing to focus on, and we think that will be very, you know, beneficial to our customers in the future. But other, you know, within product, I mean, if you look at the focus on sustainability and the focus on wellness, having amazing fitness centers that really do feel like mini, you know, private clubs, and have great locker rooms and showers and bike facilities, you know, all of these are very important. But it's also the programming and the services that we offer. So for example, we've launched recently, prior to the pandemic, the Car Experience app. And that app does everything from, you know, as we continue to roll out, you know, when people are coming back into the office, it will have full access control. So touchless access control that's going to be integrated into the app. It has, you know, things such as being able to order some food. It has all the building information. It has dry cleaning. So there's just a lot of services that will be provided, and information and content that will be provided to our customers in that way. We also want to provide experiences, right? We want to have things that, you know, whether it's yoga on the rooftop or, you know, a cocktail making class and, you know, at the rooftop in Signal House. Those are the types of things that we feel will make coming into the office worth it, and really give our customers the opportunity to collaborate, have fun, and really, you know, get back to work and enjoy that. But I think the most important thing that we are doing right now is focusing on our culture and service, and focusing on how we make our customers, you know, just feel at home, know that we care about them, that we are going to take care of them. So we are, you know, taking a little bit of a lesson from many luxury hospitality brands and implementing a foundation of service and culture training. And so all of our employees will be highly trained on how to deliver, you know, that luxury level hospitality and feel, how to, you know, take care of problems, and, you know, all of the things that will make our customers know that they're going to be cared for and taken care of. So that is, you know, that's probably one of our biggest initiatives right now, in addition to kind of focusing on design and amenities and service. And then that is really what's weaved through that is our ability to use technology, data, really innovation to create different experiences. So we have a great internal technology and IT team that has created a lot of, you know, systems that allow us to monitor our air quality in our buildings real time and allow them to act on that. You know, we have really been focused on making sure that our customers know that returning to work in our buildings will be safe. So, you know, all the things that many of them were talking to, but I think what I like to think is really unique is just that focus on culture and service. So that's really, you know, what we're focusing on. We're excited about welcoming our customers back in the building. We're starting to hear quite a bit of people, you know, starting to come back even faster than maybe what they thought they were. And really agree with all the things that Neil said and many of the studies that people are excited to come back to work. They want to come back and be with people. There's many things that we miss about, you know, just meeting somebody by the coffee machine or whatever it might be, and be able to discuss those things and how work gets done and how collaboration and creativity is really inspired. And so we're looking forward to doing just that.
Thanks, Mitzi. So just right off the top, I can't imagine anybody wanting to work at home when they could go to work in one of your buildings. That sounds like an unbelievable experience. You know, clearly that evolution of the way you guys are running your business had to have been starting before COVID, but I'm assuming accelerated as a result of COVID. You know, how much has it changed in the last 14 months in terms of your ability to ramp up this evolution in the way you have designed your product?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know, if you think about it, my position didn't exist prior to COVID, and I was brought on, you know, mid-pandemic and last October. And so the position really was to look at brands, look at design, look at hospitality and the culture. And so I think the way it's sped up is that right now we see, like, there are a lot of people out there doing a lot of innovative things. It's really easy to kind of copy design. It's easy to copy kind of programming or whatever, but it's not very easy to copy a culture and how that's built. And I think that we just have a very visionary leadership team that, you know, is very passionate about this. And that's really what we've tried to accelerate and focus on to, you know, ensure that that's really our competitive advantage.
And do you think, based on what you're seeing, again, both pre-COVID, but as well as, you know, in the current discussions, is this kind of workplace or building environment targeting one type of customer, as you call them, or tenants, or is it tech, or does it apply as equally to a law firm as it does a technology company?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you ask that, because we always like to say you can't judge a company by their category. And I think that's very true, because you can have a very innovative law firm and a staid tech firm, right? I think what we are looking for is companies that share our beliefs, that people do need to come together to collaborate, to be creative, to build strong cultures. And those shared beliefs, I think, are the type, it's almost like if you think about the type of company that we are trying to create is this persona of that person that has that intent and look for. It's not necessarily just technology or just professional services.
But it also seemed to me like you're arguably disaggregating or decommoditizing real estate in terms of, you know, the focus on operating costs and additional rent versus the traditional way of looking at things, because obviously there's tremendous investment required from car to produce not only the physical spaces, but the programming and support to bring those spaces to life. I would assume that, you know, the tenants that you're attracting, the customers that you're attracting are they see beyond the dollars and see the value in the productivity that it would bring to their people and how it changes their business as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that's definitely the goal. You know, if we don't want to be just chosen because we're in the right location, you know, with a beautiful building, we want people to enjoy their experience so much with us that they actively seek out car properties to rent their future office space.
That's great. So I think we're going to have a question and answer period at the end of the session. So we'll move on. Mitzi, thank you for your insights. Like I said, it sounds like a great environment. So we'll come back at the end and take some Q&A from the audience.
Great. Thanks, Neil.
Okay. Thanks, Mitzi. So next we have Thomas, a challenging Dutch name, I believe, that I'm not even going to try. And he just goes by Thomas PDF. So I'd like to introduce Thomas PDF, who I think might have a video that he wants to roll, and then we'll do a formal introduction.
AppSpace is the easiest way to engage with your team, no matter where they work. People and places have always been the foundation of a company's culture. These days, employee engagement is more important than ever. AppSpace helps deliver a single, unified voice across multiple devices and your technology investments. Share announcements, reminders, and other information that keeps employees informed, whether they're at home, in the office, or on the go. Create a safe and efficient environment for your hybrid workplace. Employees and visitors can check in and reserve available desks, rooms, and even parking spaces. Reach every employee through AppSpace's integration with enterprise messaging tools like Microsoft Teams, WebEx Teams, and Slack, and track engagement through simple analytics and dashboards. See how many of the world's leading brands use AppSpace to power their hybrid workplace cultures. Enjoy simple team communications and space management solutions, all within one easy-to-use platform. Try for free at appspace.com.
Thomas PDF is the Executive Vice President of Product Experiences at AppSpace, where he's responsible for facilitating ownership of customer experience excellence throughout the company. Previously, he was at Cisco for 15 years, holding various leadership roles across multiple business units. Welcome, Thomas.
Thank you, Neil. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining. I've got a few minutes and a few slides to share, so I'm going to go right into it. And let me see if I can get to the first slide. The challenge of technology, almost a year in. Here we go. All right, so just quickly, I'm going to give a little bit of background. Obviously, the pandemic hit us hard last year, and a lot of challenges occurred. We were called by a lot of our Fortune 500 customers to assist. And the challenges they had was employees were sent back home, and they had to focus on maintaining complete employee engagement and maintaining the culture. They had to comply to a lot of new legal obligations and have to make sure employees followed new policies and procedures. This has generated a lot of challenges for customers. And I think until the summer last year, a lot of companies were really focusing on putting inside the digital workplace, the technology to make sure employees can continue to be productive and connected to the environment. Around the summer timeframe, a lot of companies started reaching back to us saying, hey, we're getting ready to go back to the office. I think it was a moment of positivism in the industry where we thought the pandemic was almost gone and we were going to be able to do that. Unfortunately, it took much longer. And here we are in 2021. And since the beginning of the year, we're now really starting to see the acceleration of the return to the office. So really the first part has been companies focusing on putting the technology in the digital workplace, making sure employees from home had all the tools to be productive and remain connected. But over the last few months, we've talked a lot with customers, and what they've told us is they want to do two things with this return to the office. They want to lead with change. They see an opportunity here to maybe accelerate a change, and Mitzi was talking about it just earlier, a change that was maybe forecasted over a course of 3 to 5 years, and actually do this year in 2021 as employees go back to the office. And that's providing a much more dynamic environment versus the more static workplace we used to be in. They want to do that without sacrificing the experience. In fact, to the contrary, they want to make sure the experience is even better for employees who go back into the workplace. So for example, the ability to reserve a space in the office, but first check who's going in the office and where they're going to be sitting so that you can sit next to them and have a productive workspace experience. They want to make the workspace more collaborative. I think we've seen a lot of the collaboration vendors out there provide and deliver new features for the workplace, providing better technology so that when employees get on site, they can really engage as a group and not come to the email to the office only to do emails or calls. What we loved hearing from our customers is they want to focus on the well-being of employees. And I think that was awesome in Mitzi's presentation. She talked a lot about all the facilities they're providing to give that well-being environment. And I think it's great to hear customers wanting to lead change there and companies really drive this workspace to be a space where employees feel really good. The other thing they asked us, they told us, is they want to use data. I mean, we've been talking about data for years and we know data is important, but I think they now know what they need to do with the data. First and foremost, focus on health and safety. I think there is a need. We're not at the end of this pandemic. A lot of countries in the world are still struggling and we don't know what's behind the vaccination. So we need to make sure that we put a plan in place for health and safety to keep our employees in a protective workspace environment. They want to use data to plan. Better plan. And because we are uncertain of what's going to happen, they need a tool that's flexible, that will allow you to adjust the workspace. Do I need more desks? Do I need more meeting rooms? Do I need more huddle spaces? Do I need more parking places or even lockers for employees? That will require technology to give that flexibility to adjust based on the new reality. And then finally, what we heard is companies want to consolidate. Pre-pandemic, it was a lot around point products, products to reserve a space, product to check in at the office, product to do signage for employee communication. At the end of the day, all those point products do not provide that flexible environment. And so consolidating under a single platform or a couple of platforms to deliver that data and make sure you provide that flexible workspace is critical. What's interesting with those two data points that our customers shared with us is that when you look at what the current mindset of our employees are, it actually should help address this, what was called turnover tsunami. A lot of employees feel they're less connected than before the pandemic, feel the company cultures have changed, although company has done more town halls than ever before. They feel less connected to colleagues, although Zoom has exploded and everyone has now a video endpoint or a video technology on their phone and desktop. And a lot of their employees don't feel so positive around career. But when you think about what companies are thinking of, what we just walked through around leading change and data, I think we're in a good spot. And I think a lot of companies are going to be able to address the concerns of all the employees out there. In short, if I had to wrap up, I think it's a lot around safety concerns. It's a lot around making the space, and not only the physical workspace in the office, but the digital workspace, making it one that employees can work with and be flexible, go in the office a few days a week, work from home, but regardless whether they're in the office or at home, they're connected to the workplace, they have access to the tools, and they have access to the communication feed. It needs to be centered and focused around people and making people safe, making sure that people feel confident that if they're going back to the office, the workspace has been thought for them. And I think we're going to have to continue adapting the changes. It's amazing. I mean, if you think about it, in January, we were talking about asking people to complete a COVID questionnaire. Now we're asking employees to upload a vaccine certificate before they go to the office in certain areas of the world. So we need to adapt with the technology responding to new rules and regulation. And then communication. You can have the best technology in your space. If you do not have a proper communication strategy in place, you'll probably fail in having users adopt the technology and adopt the workspace and feel happy again to go back to the office. So I really think focusing on space, both physical and digital, focusing on employees' well-being and making sure communication supports that initiative is going to be critical. And I think we see that consistent feedback from all the customers that we're helping get back into the office. And really, when we look at surveys, it's starting now. June is really when a lot of employees are going back, and it's going to happen throughout the summer until the end of the year. That was my quick 5 minutes intro. I'm going to turn it back to Neil.
Thanks, Thomas. I think you make a very compelling case for returning to the office. I think you've hit certainly the highlights in terms of what employees are going to be looking for and what employers are going to need to provide. The hard part is executing. And, you know, can you talk a little bit about what it's going to take to get us from that more static working environment that we've all come from to the more dynamic environment that Appspace and you were just talking about in your presentation?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I think for the first time we're racing against the clock. In the past, we had time to think through what technology would fit better where in which space. And often change would take many years. Here we don't. We've got to bring employees back into the office because they're asking for it. And so companies are sprinting. And the first thing we need is a tool that allows employees to get back into the office safely. So comply to any restriction or document that need to be provided before they make to the office. Once they're in the office, make sure that communication continues to flow to guide them through their usual journey. And once they're inside a working space, have the technology to support. What we're seeing is in the past, we as a vendor, we just provide the technology and customers would roll it out. And now that's no longer the case. They actually ask for our help just because they don't have the time and they need the practice. What we're seeing as well is customers asking to talk to other customers, and that's awesome. So we do customer forums a lot and bring big Fortune 500 customers to talk to other Fortune 500 companies and smaller companies to share what's working for them, this hasn't worked. And I think that sharing is new. I think the pandemic has created that sense of community where companies are not only competing anymore, but they also realize they need to share to accelerate and provide that workplace environment that employees ask for.
Yeah, I think it's a whole new world, I think it's fair to say. A big part of the future workplace, and this is before COVID as well, but the hoteling concept, kind of no fixed address, in the Avison world, we talk about that a great deal. It's a way of creating more collaboration space, but having less fixed space for people. What about desk reservation systems, things like that? What are you seeing in that space?
Yeah, I think it's been viral. I think there are two technologies that I think over the last 18 months have gone viral, video collaboration, and we've seen the success of Zoom and WebEx and Microsoft Teams. And I think space reservation is specifically hoteling environments. I think everyone wants a hoteling environment. Customers need it. They need a more flexible workspace. They need to be able to adapt to the needs of their employees, to how many employees will come back, and no one can predict how many employees will come back and for how long they will stay in the office. What is for sure is if I'm going to book a desk and that desk has nothing of my personal items because I was never sitting there before, I don't have my books, my family pictures, or my badges from the last 10 events that I attended, I still want, as an employer, to give my employee the ability to personalize their workspace. So it's not only about booking a desk. Is when I finally get to that desk, I want the monitor on that desk to display personal content that is relevant to the employee, make that space more personal. And I think it's going to be a big focus. Otherwise, as an employee, I'm not excited to go back to a desk with nothing on it, with no personality. So it's going to be a correlation of technology and the right workspace environment and personalization of that workspace so that I feel a little bit at home and I feel well in that space.
Does that go hand in hand with wayfinding as well, in terms of knowing where your colleagues are? Like, if you're never in the same fixed spot every day, but the whole point of going back to the office is about collaboration and teamwork, but you don't know who's there, how does that all fit together?
No, absolutely. And one of the companies we're working with is deploying 150,000 employees, and the first half are going live June 1st. And the number one concern there was is if I'm moving to a full hoteling environment, I want to allow my employees to look up ahead of time who's coming in the office, where they're going to be sitting, and reserve a space nearby or far away from them. I know that that person speaks loud and I don't want to be close to that person, I need to know that because I knew that before the pandemic. So I want to be able to plan. So a big focus has been on providing technology that does not sacrifice the user experience. In to the contrary, enhanced. In the past, I would go to the office, I would know where I was sitting and who was sitting next to me, but I wouldn't know if the person was going to be here, really be there. Tomorrow, when I go into the office, not only will I be able to look where that person is sitting and when they're going there and plan my agenda based on that. And I think that's going to make collaboration far more successful.
That's good stuff. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll see you again in half an hour or so.
Thank you.
Take care. Next, we have Adrian Wygant. I think there's a video as well for Adrian, just to tee things up.
Thank you.
Adrian Wygant is Managing Director Americas at Spacewell. He has nearly 20 years of professional experience in management roles at the intersection of technology, finance, and business. Welcome, Adrian.
Hello, thanks for having me on. Audio is okay? Okay, great.
Yep.
So today I'm going to be talking a little bit about what has happened and how we got to the hybrid office and the big focus on employee experience. So the pandemic itself has really highlighted both the performance of space and the employee experience. On the one hand, space, because due to the COVID pandemic, we had a lot of space just sitting empty because employees were working remotely. So you have a lot of non-performing space, which is a giant cost. And on the other hand, you have the employee experience, meaning you have employees who were forced to work remotely all of a sudden. And by doing so, a lot of them became less productive. Some of them for a while also more productive, but the balance between the two completely fell apart. Now, pre-pandemic, the focus was all on optimizing space performance. You know, it was all about how can we reduce the footprint of the space that we have to reduce the overhead cost, how can we assign as many people to as small of a space as possible without losing productivity, and how can we make sure that the space mix that we have is correct and being used optimally. Now, as I said before, the focus was on space. The employee productivity was more or less seen as a constant. So if we keep putting more and more people into a smaller space, how far can we go without losing productivity? Now, you know, post-pandemic or post-COVID, the whole situation has changed. It's more about how can we get the employees to become more productive or as productive as they were beforehand, and how can we make sure that we have the correct amount of space, because the assumption is there are going to be more and more people working remotely at least part of the time. And there is no magical equation so far as to what the correct ratio is and what you need to do to maintain productivity, because everybody is a bit different. Every industry is different. If you have employees returning to the office because they're looking for collaboration and they want to work with people, and they return to a partially empty office and they're looking for their colleagues and can't find them, then you know the first impression is going to be, well, that was a waste of time. I'm not going to be coming back into the office. And you really only have one opportunity to get it wrong, because once there's a negative impression, it's not really going to be bringing your employees back. And it's a lot harder to incentivize them to work the way they are most productive. And the same goes for people who are fleeing into the office to get away from, for example, screaming children, and all they need is a concentration space where it's quiet. If they show up to an office that is completely full and everyone is there and there's no quiet spaces because the old office didn't have a lot of huddle rooms or concentration spaces, then they might say, okay, I was more productive at home, which is still less productive than they were pre-COVID. So getting that mix correct is very important. And space productivity and employee productivity really depend on each other. You know, the right space depends on how employees actually use the space, and how employees use the space depends on how it is actually set up. So going forward, a lot of the emphasis is going to be on really optimizing the employee experience, and there's a lot that really goes into that. On the one hand, you want to make sure that the office itself is fit for purpose. As I mentioned in the examples beforehand, we need to find out how people are going to be using the office. Over the past year, a lot of people have developed new habits. They've gotten used to having all the technology they need in one place. So going back into the office, you might not have all the creature comforts you had before. So a lot of people might feel that it's, you know, more productive to stay home. So you need to make sure that the office itself has the right match for the way the employees are going to be using the space. Another important aspect of having the correct employee experience is also for reputational purposes. You really want to have a high performing workplace that really benefits your brand, so you can acquire and retain talent. And then, as was mentioned earlier, you know, a big part is also how are employees going to use this new workplace. If you're going from a static concept, as was usually the case pre-COVID, to a hybrid workplace or an agile environment where people can sit where they want, can use the space the way they want to, it's going to be hard to get, especially, you know, the older, more static generation to find out where their colleagues are. So it makes social interactions more difficult to make sure that you're in the office at the same time as the people you need to work with. So there's a lot of technological elements that you can use to really facilitate that and ease that transition, such as a booking systems, service booking solutions, having reservation systems where you can actually see in advance or plan as a team. So all of that can help with the creative communication and to make the workplace more accessible. But also the last year has generated a lot of autonomy in employees. They've gotten used to setting up their own schedules, having their own workplace. And so having an office that really allows the employee to work the way he wants to is a good way to get them to A, want to be returning to the office, and also B, for increasing productivity. But the really important takeaway here is that all of these things are in flux, so there is no kind of perfect solution for that. If you ask people to fill out a survey and they fill it out honestly, it could be that 2 or 3 weeks from now, after having gone back into the office, their opinion changes. If for a year you've gotten used to not having an hour or 2 hour long commute, and you think going back to the office would be great to see all your colleagues, and then you show up and it's great the first week, the second week, but then you realize you're losing an hour or two a day just in commuting, a lot of people might change their minds. So what's very, very important to maintain the efficiency and to get it to the point where you really want to have it, to really to optimize the employee experience, you need to make sure that you're actually tracking and following how the space is being used so you can adapt and make changes on the fly. And so that's, again, where technology comes in, so you can actually track the usage, see the reservation, the booking, see who's working together with whom, when, to make all those adjustments so that you really have a good first impression and you can optimize it as things change. So, you know, the takeaway is we're in a changing environment. We really need to make sure that we're putting our best foot forward and that we can adjust on the fly, because no one really knows what's going to be the next step and the step after. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Adrian. Just one question. What would you say are the key factors in that will impact the employee experience as kind of we operate in this hybrid world?
Well, I think the most important things will be having the correct setup in the office. So if you have a lot of employees who are coming back who really need to have collaboration, you need to have enough collaboration space so that when employees come back into the office, they have access to the space they need. The same goes for concentration spaces. And additionally, as I mentioned before, you really need to be able to facilitate that change in the way people will be working. Because if you have unassigned seating, hoteling, hot desking, if you do not have a solid booking system, if you do not have a people finder in place, if you don't have a way to make sure you have all the resources that you need at hand when you're in the office, it's just not going to be very productive and people will be unhappy. So I think those are the key factors.
Great, thanks. We got some questions coming in from the audience, which we'll queue up for when we all get back together at the end. So thank you, Adrian. We're going to move on to Ron Rock from Microshare. Again, I think Ron's got a little video that we can play, and then formal introductions.
Hey, Melvin. Busy office today. Air quality, check. Gonna need another coffee. Too many people in there. Gonna have to wait. Got a report, the towels are out. Wow, you guys are on it. Ah, an open field for coffee. This place could use a cleaning. We gotta stop meeting like this.
Thanks, Ron. I agree with everything in that video in terms of the way somebody's life goes by in a day, except for the way you wake up, because that is not at all the way I wake up. That was entertaining.
It's called acting.
Ron Rock is the co-founder and CEO of Microshare. He brings 3 decades of experience as a bridge builder between new technology strategies and legacy enterprises. Over to you, Ron.
Thanks, Neil, and thank you for having me. And so far, I've loved the presentation of my colleagues. So I think we're all here saying roughly the same, you know, giving the same message, telling the same story. So I guess I'm going to start by saying, what just happened? Wow. Just 18 months ago, none of us would have believed that a COVID could have stopped the world in its tracks. It was incomprehensible. We never heard about things like contact tracing, essential employees in the way that we thought about it. The whole world shut down, and we had to figure out how to get through the crisis period. And the analogy that we came up with was, it's a lot like 9/11. You know, ground zero, and for the first year, think about air travel. Everything was a mess. Before 9/11, yeah, sometimes there were smoke metal detectors, sometimes there weren't. You could walk to the gate with your loved ones. You could enjoy restaurants behind security. None of it really mattered. And then after 9/11, we decided we needed a permanent infrastructure, something that wasn't going to go away, that was now, here we are decades later, and it's just part of our normal DNA. We all know the drill. Whether we're flying from Dubai, London, or New York, take your laptop out of the bag, belt off, shoes off. None of that was there before 9/11. And just like that, with COVID-19, we know that there's going to be a permanent infrastructure that's not going to go away. And so what does that infrastructure look like, especially now as we start to come back to work? Well, there's a lot of delicate pieces to this infrastructure. So, you know, we're going to be putting technology in place, but the line that we constantly have heard so much about in the last year from some of our customers globally, and we do, you know, these conversations are very different in North America and the United States versus the rest of the world. What are you doing with my data? I'm not comfortable with you knowing how often I'm grabbing a cigarette break. I'm not comfortable knowing how long I go for lunch. So beginning to balance the benefit of your health and safety along with the benefit of all the things that some of my colleagues are talking about today. And it gets to be complicated. On the surface, we hear things like hybrid workplace. How hard can that be? Well, does that suddenly mean that everybody comes in on Wednesday and nobody's in on Mondays and Fridays? We're beginning to blur the benefits of that. As we think about turning these buildings back on, how do I staff it? How much energy do I buy? How often do I now change the air filters? How many people staff at security? How many people staff in the cafeteria or the parking garage? But it gets even more complicated than that, because we're hearing a lot, another new term, dual vaxxers, double vaxxed. Nobody knew what that was 18 months ago. Now we're creating 2 classes of citizens, certainly in the rest of the world, much more so than the United States. So I'm sure many of you saw in the EU now, if you're double vaxxed, Americans, you can go to Europe. Well, now they can also mandate that you're double vaxxed before you come back to the office. Or worse yet, what if Tuesdays and Thursdays are for the no vaxxed and Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays are for the double vaxxed? And then how do I manage that with my support staff? So all of these complications they're much more difficult to do in real life as we start to think about turning our spaces back on. But the one thing we know for sure, and the reason we're all here today, is that technology is going to play a really important part in bringing the world back to life. Why is this going to happen now? We've talked about IoT for 20 years. We've talked about sensors. You know, my colleagues have talked about how, you know, this is accelerating. You have the cross section of multiple things at play. First thing is that the economics of what we're now doing weren't possible 3 and 5 years ago. Low cost, scalable infrastructure from Amazon, Microsoft, IBM, Google, cloud infrastructure for IoT that just wasn't there that long ago. New sensor technology, many times under $20 with 5-year battery life, all kinds of sensors. And now hundreds of manufacturers jumping on the bandwagon with everything from leak detection and air quality, occupancy, smart parking, waste management, all of these things. And I'll agree with one of my colleagues earlier, Thomas said, people increasingly don't want smart stuff. They want a smart building. They want a smart campus. All this data needs to be talking to one another in a seamless, easy way. In the video that I just showed you, all the complexity about air quality, people counting, contact tracing, at the end of the day, it manifests itself in a really simple, hey, I got to go to the cafeteria, red, yellow, or green. Red, you can't go right now, too many people. Yellow, if you can wait, wait. Green, come on down. So taking all of this intelligent, fantastic, valuable data and boiling it down in a way that people get it, that it's easy to understand. Another big thing that we're finding is real-time feedback is going to matter. In the UK, they have this great saying, see it, say it, sorted. If you see something, say something, it'll be sorted. And that's a campaign they've been running for years in public transportation. Well, some of my colleagues have talked about as well, touch-free feedback. If you see something, who do you call? How do you communicate it? And I talked to a CEO of a very large company several months ago, and he said, Ron, I love this. This is great. And I'm sure it works. But even if it doesn't, how I make people feel by having these placards all throughout our space saying that if you see something, here's exactly how to communicate. So it makes people feel safer, feel better. And that's going to be a big part of this. The technology of everything we're talking about is pretty easy. And I think that's a theme in some of my other presenters. What's really hard is where the technology meets the human. The privacy, do I feel comfortable? Are you watching me? I'm intimidated by it. All of those pieces we have to figure out, I think, as we spend our time coming back to work, reoccupy, whatever it may be. From Microshare's perspective, we think that there is what we call EverSmart. As we pivot now from reactive mode to contact tracing and essential worker safety, now what's the everlasting infrastructure that's going to be in place to make sure that people feel safe, feel productive, want to go back to work? And I don't pretend to know the answers right now. I think anybody that says they do know the answers, they don't. We're all in this together. It's uncharted territory. I think we're at the beginning of something big, that's going to be global. I think we're going to expect technology and data everywhere we go. But I do think that the journey right now, we're very early on. We have a long way to go, but it's going to look something like all of these things coming together to allow us to live our lives feeling safer and being safer. Neil, that's all I've got.
Thanks, Ron. So, you know, there's a lot there. And I think you're right on many levels in terms of what, how we're trying to figure it all out on the go, on the fly. You know, what would you say are the kind of two dominant themes or two most important things that a landlord or, you know, needs to be thinking about in order to prepare and accommodate for meeting tenant expectations as they come back?
You know, there's a lot of great sizzle out there, but I think it boils down to a really simple question. Everything starts with real-time occupancy. How many people are showing up by minute, by hour, by day? Because all the data I have for the last 20 years, I can throw away. We don't know how people are going to start to come back to work. And that data will begin to tell you how to think about the rest of the challenges that you need to face, whether it be staffing or supplies or maintenance or amenities or all those great things. So I think the biggest challenge right now is, you know, the old build it and they will come. I'm not sure. And geographically, it's different. Country by country, it's very different. So I think the biggest thing right now is how do I begin to understand? The analogy I use, it's the fuel gauge on my car. I don't really care how much gas I had Tuesday last week, but I'd like to know right now how my building's performing, because I need to make decisions today for this afternoon, today for tomorrow, and beginning to understand that. I think that's challenge number one. The second challenge is why I bring it up in my short presentation. Don't underestimate privacy. We put technology in buildings and it goes missing. It gets broken. It gets ripped off the wall and thrown in the trash can. Why is that? It's because we're not doing the human component well enough yet to make sure that people realize, look, this is for the good of everybody. We're all going to be better. And oh, by the way, we really are protecting your privacy. Neil, I really don't care how often you go out and grab a cigarette. And being able to prove that opens the floodgate for acceptance and getting these new technologies in place.
Yeah, all the data is great, but what do you do with it and how do you communicate and turn it into value, right?
Right on. Yep.
That's great, Ron. Thanks a lot. We'll be back to you in a few minutes.
Thank you, Neil.
So now I'd like to introduce Mike Petroski. Mike's the host of the Workplace Innovator podcast and director of events and growth marketing at iOffice. He's a dynamic speaker, podcaster, and seasoned marketer who has a passion for sharing iOffice's unique brand of thought leadership to commercial real estate and facility management leaders in the digital workplace. Mike, welcome.
Neil, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me. It is kind of a role reversal. I'm the one usually asking the questions, Neil, so I admire you and appreciate all you've done so far moving us along. I'll be brief, folks. I just want to give you a quick introduction to the Workplace Innovator podcast brought to you by iOffice. I get to host there. Maybe some of you know me as DJ Mike P. I do like to bring in conversations with industry leaders in the world of corporate real estate, facility management, workplace consultants, everyone who has an interest in understanding the trends, technologies, and challenges of the world of work and the workplace. And boy, have we had a lot to talk about in these last many, many months. So I'm just trying to think.
We actually do have a quick video for iOffice that we would like to play just before you get started.
Oh, sure. Well, I guess so. This will be a good little segue into what I have to say. Thanks.
All workplaces are changing. Whether your workplace is a factory, a healthcare center, the cab of a semi-truck, or an office, you need to manage infrastructure, keep your machinery running, your employees connected, and your spaces safe, all with your eye on the bottom line. With smarter tools that keep pace with your shifting priorities, you can make better business decisions, streamline operations, and make workspaces people want to work in. iOffice has expanded our family of cloud-based software, so you have enterprise solutions that grow with you. We're helping you connect workplace experience and asset management to create a more agile environment for employees and better outcomes for the world.
Go. A little music never hurt anybody. I love it. So that's the kind of thing we do at iOffice. And I bring that kind of interest in the world of work and work, the workplace, real estate, the built environment. And I try to put a personal spin on it as far as getting my guests to share a little bit about the human side, because we've gone through this redefinition of workplace experience. And it's more about employee experience, because employees can be working from home now in a third space in an office. But really, from my perspective, and I hope from yours, it's really about the human experience and what this pandemic has done to us as humans. So when I try to interview guests, I look to find out at workplaceinnovator.com. I was just looking how fortunate I am to talk to so many incredible global real estate and facility management leaders in just the past few weeks. For example, I had Peter Baumann from SAP over in Zurich, Switzerland, talking about his experience as head of workplace and global real estate. Now, SAP, huge organization, 100,000 employees, facilities all across the globe. They've had a flexible working environment for many years, over almost a decade now. And Peter went into a lot of the lessons learned, things that you as a real estate professional or as someone who's looking to maybe shift their strategy going forward can really benefit from. That was episode 158. Episode 159, just a couple weeks ago, was with Anthony Parzanese of Red Hat. He's the director of global real estate strategy. And just a lot of the things that the previous presenters have said is something that Anthony was sharing with me as a real estate leader, as a strategist, you know, this idea of preparing the space for the future and having more we spaces than me spaces. But really what was interesting about Anthony's commentary was around, you know, understanding the employee first and the needs of the employee and getting profiles together. Is this employee going to be remote? Are they going to be hybrid with what Red Hat calls mobile? And or are they going to be an anchored, you know, assigned desk person? And, you know, first understand that role and that persona then allows you to plan properly. And again, everybody I talk to agrees that we really don't know what the future holds. It's still murky. The waters are still a little bit foggy. And I think the biggest takeaway from recent episodes of the show is that we all have to be adaptable and flexible. And then I get into the idea of what can we do as leaders to really prepare these human beings to re-engage. And I give myself as an example, as a longtime remote worker who has been off the road now for over a year and has kind of gotten comfortable in a new groove here of working from home. I'm on video every day. I'm doing these podcasts. It's kind of gotten comfortable and I've lost some of the, I guess, the drive to get back out and take that risk and re-engage with the public and re-engage with colleagues and potential customers and all that type of thing. But I think that's what's better for me and that's what's better for you. And we need to tell that story to our employees and our workforce. And as workplace leaders, we need to call these folks to an adventure. I use the example of Lord of the Rings, and I think this new groove we've all established is that many of us are like Bilbo Baggins in his hobbit hole, you know, sitting comfortably by the fire with a pipe in hand and maybe an ale. And it took Gandalf to come and call him to an adventure, get him out of that hobbit hole and back into an adventure. So leaders need to lead going forward. And that was really the focus of an episode of the show from about a month ago that I talked to on episode 157. I want you to check it out if you want to hear more about what I think. I've aggregated all these thoughts from my guests, and I really think there's some challenges ahead. So let me just share one thing with you. I think the takeaway from my show is always informational, yes, but it's also inspirational. I often ask my guests to share inspirational quotes. This is Seth Godin, a marketing guru. Maybe you have heard of him. He's got a daily blog. He's written a lot of books about marketing, but he understands human behavior and human beings. And I use him a lot to demonstrate some of the things that we're going to be facing going forward and the opportunities as real estate and workplace leaders to keep persisting and pushing ahead even when challenges come. So here's the quote. If it were any other way, it would be easy. If it were any other way, everyone would do it and your work would ultimately be devalued. The yin and yang are clear. Without people pushing against your quest to do something worth talking about, it's unlikely it would be worth the journey. Persist. So I love that kind of inspiration from Seth. And he is one to, you know, give lots of great quotes. But just to wrap up, you know, I don't want to be redundant. iOffice is a leader in employee experience focused software tools. And we like to offer many of the same functionality that some of the other folks who have presented here have already shared. But I would just tell you that we're all looking to bring a holistic view of the workplace, understand the people and that human side. We're always talking with our customer advisory board, getting those insights and adapting our product to meet the needs going forward. So if you want more information, you can certainly find it. But Neil, let me just come back to you and talk about music. I know you're from Canada, right? So I do a lot of musical references on the show. And in recent months, I mean, Rush has come up on the show, The Tragically Hip, and also Loverboy. Everybody's working for the weekend, right? Well, maybe not anymore with this new hybrid workplace and the blurring of the lines between our personal lives and our work lives. Does the Friday night at 5 p.m. matter anymore? Does it matter to you, Neil?
That's a great question. Well, first of all, I'm no fan of Loverboy, but I am a huge fan of The Tragically Hip. So any of our American audience that has not heard of The Tragically Hip, look them up because they are an unbelievable band. You know,
you are ahead by a century, Neil.
There you go. I'm impressed, Mike. You know, big question, right? Like, what does the workday look like in the future? And I think that's some of the stuff that everybody's grappling with. It's the concept of productivity, and you know, people say, well, I'm working many more hours now from home, so that's good, excuse me, for productivity. But you know, you hear other anecdotal information in terms of the quality of work, and the output is actually going down. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that still need to be figured out in this world. You know, I think that the blurring of lines between work and office when you're working from home is very complicated and probably not so good for people's mental health and well-being as well. So I think that we're absolutely, you referenced, we're on an adventure. Is very true. You know, from a question perspective for you as a follow-up, do you think what is that great adventure that is going to compel people to go to the next stage, get back to the office, or get out of that, you know, comfortable space that you're in, as you mentioned?
Yeah, well, I'll refer back to the research that you shared at the top of this webinar from Global Workplace Analytics and Leisman. And you know, before the pandemic, it was clear that there is a lot of connection between our productivity, our well-being, and our happiness, and that all ties together. And being with others and being in a space that allows us to be our best selves, a culture, it's a culture question, you know, the organization giving you the trust to do your job and do it well, and feeling a connection to the mission of the organization. Those things are basic human desires and needs, and what allows us to be our best employee. So when we're talking as workplace leaders to develop an environment and a strategy and a culture that delivers on that, I think there's a lot of things we can learn from the social sciences, right? So I'm very excited, Neil. I've got some guests coming up in the coming weeks. I've got webinars next week with an anthropologist from NYU and a psychologist who works on staff as part of the research team at Herman Miller, and so many others who are in this space of design and strategy and change management and helping us to put in place the, you know, the tools and the technologies. Obviously, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't mention that iOffice delivers that level of control and flexibility in the hand of your employee to feel comfortable re-engaging with the workplace and their colleagues. And that's what we're looking forward to in these coming months.
Yeah, that's great, Mike. We're running short of time, so we're going to move on to our final guest. We'll be back to you in just a few minutes. So our final guest, it moves us back into the landlord space. Mark Hansen is the CIO of Dexus, one of Australia's leading real estate groups. Mark has over 25 years of technology experience in developing and executing IT strategies to drive business performance and improve productivity across a range of sectors. So all the way from Australia, I'd like to introduce Mark Hansen. Over to you, Mark.
Yeah, thank you, Neil, and hopefully everyone can hear me well. Here from sunny Sydney, Australia. We are experiencing quite a resurgence of people coming back to the workplace at the moment. So I might just share a little bit about Dexus to start with. I've got control of the slides. Oh, I went one too far. We can go back one slide, it'd be great. There we go. So just a little bit about Dexus. You're probably wondering why I'm here from Australia talking to you. Well, we are Australia's largest commercial office landlord with about $36.5 billion of assets we manage with 15.5 million square feet and a lot of properties. But what's really interesting there, we've still got $10.6 billion of developments underway. Not just a single asset, but we're developing some very large precincts around Sydney, Brisbane, and across Australia. The other area I'd like to mention is we've also taken a punt and we've moved into healthcare. We're now building hospitals, we have healthcare funds, and COVID has proven that's been a very good strategic approach for Dexus because hospitals, as we all know, are in increasing demand. So just moving on. We have done quite significant surveys with our customers, and there are probably three key areas that obviously we have a very strong vested interest in getting people back to the workplace, but there's three key areas that we have really focused on, or we've discovered from our customers and from surveying them areas that they believe are really impacted by having this remote or hybrid workplace. And I just want to share some statistics here. So obviously, culture, collaboration and innovation are three key themes that we're seeing developing across businesses or our customer base that are the bigger challenges of having this hybrid or remote workforce. So 72% of executives have a strong belief that culture is really limited or isn't as well advanced when or very hard to maintain in this hybrid environment. You can imagine the struggle of a new employee joining your workforce, and yet they're sitting at home behind their desk at home, and trying to induct them into your organization has been very challenging. So culture is probably the major hit at the moment with this hybrid environment. Obviously, collaboration, people at 79% of employees, not executives, but employees, have found that collaboration is a bigger challenge. And obviously, you'll find some speakers today and a lot of your suppliers will argue that, no, we can provide you all the tools to collaborate. That's very true, but we find collaboration is a lot more effective. Human beings have developed over millennia to interact face-to-face, and we find that collaboration is much stronger when you can have those human interactions. And obviously innovation. We've all got innovation as one of our key drivers in nearly every business strategy on the planet. Obviously those touch points, those moments of sharing ideas with a colleague, very hard to do over a Zoom call. Not that it can't be done, but we've, again, 66% of employees found that sharing of ideas and collaboration is a much bigger challenge in that remote environment. Probably one thing I will mention about Australia before I move on, we are probably one of the most advanced countries on the planet in terms of return to work, which puts us a bit ahead of the game compared to most continents and countries around the world. So in Australia, we have at the moment, fingers crossed, we have zero COVID cases within all major cities across Australia. Part of that advantage is we are an island. So we have the ability to really restrict who comes and goes within the country and really contain things. But also we're probably one of the lowest in terms of vaccinations, and that's probably just Australians have got quite lazy and complacent over the fact that we don't have COVID running wild across the country. But what it has meant is we've seen that resurgence of people coming back to the workplace. So typically within an office tower, we would find at most they would be 85% occupied by tenants. Australia has one of the highest levels of tenancy, which sits at around the mid-90s, 95, 96%. But in terms of occupants, 85% on any given day would be the most in terms of people turning up to the workplace. This is pre-COVID. On average, and I use Sydney as an example, we're currently sitting at about 60% occupancy of people attending the workplace. And in our peak assets, that's sitting at about 75%. So when you compare that to pre-COVID, 85% is really a peak. Some assets are sitting at 75%. So we're only about 10% down in terms of people attending the workplace. So I think Australia is a really good test case for getting people back into this workplace environment. So what are some of the changes that we're seeing? So obviously we believe that the office will always remain that central hub, the collaboration, learning culture. I don't think anyone disputes that. But whilst organisations are transitioning back and finding that right blend, what is the right mix of flexibility in terms of people working from home, having that hybrid environment, we are doing a lot of consulting with our customers. We're finding that there's more demand to refurbish their workplace, fewer desks, fewer individual desks, redesign their workspace to create more of those shared collaboration spaces. Real-time booking has been a real feature. How can I ensure that when I do come to the workplace, I have somewhere to sit or I have somewhere to share or collaborate. One that we found is really interesting is this noise suppression. While we have so many people in the workplace on Zoom calls sitting side by side, it's turned into, in some areas, very much like a call center, where those of you who are familiar speaking to a call center, you can hear a lot of the other conversations happening in the background. A lot of these technologies haven't been designed to have an entire workforce on Zoom calls or on collaboration calls across the entire pod of workstations that you're working at. So we found the need or the demand to try to find improved acoustic systems within the workplace to minimize that. From a digitization point of view, obviously, this is great for forests. Obviously, a significant reduction in the amount of paperwork that's produced. It's not a great future for printer companies, I think, because we're moving more and more into that paperless society. So technology teams are being challenged to move more rapidly into digitizing all of their workflow, all of their platforms. I don't need to really go into the video conferencing. I think that's something that all organizations are really challenged with, but really trying to establish that environment where we can create a collaboration space in the workplace that the people working remotely don't feel so remote. And so there's a lot of challenges in how we can provide that. And obviously smart wayfinding. So whilst people are working remotely, how do I know who is where at any point in time? Can I go and speak to someone face to face, or are they remote? So introducing technologies that can identify where people are located any point in time, whilst that has a privacy challenge, there are huge benefits in at least knowing whether they're in the office, whether they're remote, or not coming in at all. Pardon me. So I then move on to some of the things we're doing with smart buildings and the things that we as a landlord are doing to assist people coming back to the workplace. So indoor air purification is a major feature that we're pushing out. Current standards deal with particulate, CO2, volatiles in the air. But pathogen control is becoming a huge feature for air quality solutions. So our research has identified technologies that actually actively eliminate pathogens in the air. So what we do there is we try to target the source of the transmission in the occupied space. We have to find technologies or air purification that doesn't impact on efficiency, energy efficiency, or neighbours' ratings. It needs to be able to be retrofitted to existing HVAC units within the asset and be able to do that at a low cost. Anyone who's seen some of these simulations of someone sneezing in public transport or public spaces and the way that those pathogens transmit across those environments would know that we need to have a way to actively eliminate those pathogens within those environments. We then move on to occupancy management. I know there was a few presenters before who spoke in detail about occupancy management and social distancing. We've implemented a lot of these technologies using thermal sensors, a lot of IoT, notification panels on when people can enter space. And then in addition to that, the occupancy management, providing tools where people can pre-book their location, notify us if they are attending on a particular day, if they are experiencing any illness. Transport has been a major challenge. One of the biggest deterrents on people returning to the workplace has actually been public transport. There is no need in Australia for people to wear masks because we don't have any community transmission. However, that is one of the biggest deterrents, people catching trains, buses, attending the workplace. So what we've done there is we've enabled our staff or our customers to attend their workplace in flexible hours. Now, to do that, you want to ensure that you actually have somewhere to sit when you arrive at that workplace. So providing tools that can ensure and book workspace has been a real feature. And then finally, touchless technologies. We've been quite advanced in removing touch surfaces in the workplace. And so we've implemented biometric tools that have been very well adopted. In some of our assets, we have up to 4,000 people registered for touchless entry. And we use this rather than going down a facial recognition path, which we found has had some significant challenges with privacy. We found that we've had zero privacy concerns with using hand scanning as a biometric touchless solution. And just an indication there, if I gave you some statistics, in a typical asset which has around 4,000 occupants, with an average of 6 lift journeys a day, which require 2 touch points of a lift button, that equates to over 50,000 touch points in a single building in any one day. And so what that results in is if we can eliminate even half of those touch points, you significantly reduce the potential for contaminant transmission. So I'll just very quickly wrap up here, and I'll just ask the guys to just move on to a video which just illustrates what we've done in one of our assets to integrate touchless technology into the asset.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Similar to what I said to Mitzi at the beginning, that looks like a great environment to go to work in, and I'm sure that's why you have the occupancy and engagement rates that you do. One quick question, given that Australia is so far ahead of North America in returning to the office, any advice for the audience in terms of rabbit holes you might have gone down or assumptions you might have made that didn't prove out as people started returning to the office? Any insight that can help us from making the same mistake over here?
Look, I think one of the big challenges is the various restrictions that are placed on who can occupy any particular space at a point in time. So we found different states, various jurisdictions, there were different social distancing requirements. So difference between, say, Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane. So as people started to come back to the workplace, a really good example was within lifts. We had government restrictions or restrictions that would only allow up to 2 people to occupy a lift at any one point in time. And so we found there was a requirement for the Property Council of Australia, which is a collaboration of all the property groups, to really lobby government to ensure that they kept pace with this return to work. And so we had situations where, whilst we were getting a flood of people coming back to the workplace, we had lineups going down the street of people waiting to get into the building because the lift capacities wouldn't allow enough people to get into the workplace. So then you have this challenge of social distancing while people are lined up to get into the workplace. So our poor concierge and facility managers were dealing with panicked people trying to get to their 8:30, 9 a.m. meeting when they're in a queue for half an hour to try to get into the building. So those things have proved a bit of a challenge. And so the ability for property groups to really engage government, engage those sort of authorities to ensure that they keep pace with the changes and demands in the workplace, I think are really important. A lot of engagement with our customers in terms of providing them with solutions. I think a lot of landlords believe that they are there to provide all the answers for their customers. However, I think there needs to be some very strong collaboration between the landlord and the customer. So what I mean by that is, rather than waiting for your customer to decide what they're doing, you need to be actively engaging with them to ensure that they understand the safe solutions that you're providing to them, and they're collaborating with their own employee base to give them that confidence that the workplace is a safe place to come back to. I think a lot of landlords leave it to their customer base to have that engagement with staff. We really need to arm them with the material that ensures that they can provide confidence and comfort to their own employees of why the workplace is a safe place to come back to. So there's some of the challenges we've had, but really the technologies I mentioned earlier are really what we believe are some of the breakthrough capabilities that give those businesses confidence. And I think particularly the clean air solutions, we're doing a lot of trials. We're working with universities. Being able to actively remove contaminants from the workplace is really key. So things like UVC technologies haven't proven to be effective. Ionization in the air has proven to be quite effective. If you can provide a workplace where the air quality in the environment is cleaner and safer than what they have in the public space or even at home, then you're really on a winner.
That's great. Thanks a lot, Mark. Thanks for your insights.
Not a problem.
We're up against the time limit. So apologies to the audience in terms of our ability to get to a Q&A. I'd just like to thank everybody on the panel for taking time to share your insights. Really terrific content. You can talk for hours about all this stuff. It's complex, but it's incredibly important as we go into this new frontier of what the workplace looks like. So once again, on behalf of RealCom, thank you for your time. Appreciate all your feedback. And for the audience, if you want to keep your questions coming, we'll circle them back to you through the panelists as soon as we can. Nancy?
Great session. Obviously, a lot to be said about the topic. So sorry that we did go a little over here and have skipped the Q&A for now. But if there are questions, we will respond to people after the fact. Great session, though. Thank you, Neil, for moderating. And thanks to our panelists for participating. We appreciate their willingness to share their experiences and recommendations with our audience. Before we sign off, just two quick things. One, we have a RealCom Live news show that's tomorrow. And it's a very timely segment as we're discussing cyber terrorism in our buildings and critical infrastructures. So tune in tomorrow for that. And then don't forget next Thursday's webinar, part two of the CRE Enterprise Tech Series, where we'll be focusing on investment management enterprise solutions. There is a link in the chat window if you'd like to register, or you can do that on our website. And then just lastly, we have announced that RealCom IBCon 2021 will be held in November in Scottsdale, Arizona. Mark your calendars and check our website in the coming weeks for more details. That's it. Again, sorry we ran over. Thanks for joining us and have a great rest of the week.